We have a very special guest with us today, and I want you to give him all of the energy that he needs because he's been here since last evening. He's preached at every Mass at St. Monica's. He's lifted up the spirits of this great community, and he set a lot of hearts on fire, especially in relationship to the poorest of the poor of this great city of Los Angeles. One of the great things we do as an archdiocese is to reach out once a year, sisters and brothers, and connect each other, parishes across this archdiocese, schools across this archdiocese, to care and love and support each other. And so Father Peter Banks is here tonight, a pastor from St. Lawrence, Brindisi, and Watts for about 100 years. And he's here tonight to share with you the great work of Together in Mission. So let's give him, my brothers and sisters, a good St. Monica's welcome.
Somebody met me someplace and they asked me, are you visiting here? And I said, yes, for the last 40 years. So I'm from the west of Ireland, a place called Sligo, north of Galway. Do you know Sligo? Thank God somebody knows, heard of Sligo. Roscommon, that's nearly as good as Sligo. Or Mayo, or Galway, or Cork. And I'm one of a family of 13, 10 boys and 3 girls. 2 died as babies. And we in our house, in a little place in Ireland, had no running water, no electricity, and obviously no television. We were pretty well dirt poor. No Twittering and no blogging and no texting. And no Facebook, Willie. We had enough face-to-face with all in our family. We were in our face in a small house. And looking back on it, but we were short in material things, but we were rich in spiritual things. My mother was a saint. And I probably didn't appreciate it until maybe years later of all that she did. She never had a vacation in her life. She was a very quiet woman. My father was a total extrovert. My mother was the opposite. I think I'm in between somewhere. And we prayed the rosary every night, kneeling on a cement floor. And maybe because of that rosary and those prayers and Mass that I'm here this evening and blessed to be at St. Monica's, blessed to be talking to you. And then I decided to go for the priesthood, because I had an uncle priest and an aunt a nun, but I went for the priesthood and I was ordained a Capuchin Franciscan July 1st, 1973. And they told me that I was going to Los Angeles. So I said, first thing I want to do is see the Hollywood sign. I want to go on the beach at Santa Monica, go to Universal Studios, see Disneyland and walk on the beach all the time. So I arrived at Los Angeles Airport and my uncle, Henry Banks, who was a priest out at Santa Clarita, out at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Newhall from 1954 to 76, he died on the Feast of St. Francis, he picked me up in a big Chevrolet. So I got into the car and I was all excited about coming to Los Angeles, and we drove up across Crenshaw and Prairie, and we passed the racetrack, Hollywood racetrack. Then we crossed whatever it was, Budlong, Vermont, Broadway, Maine, Avalon, Central Avenue, Success Avenue, and my uncle dropped me in a place called Watts. And he said, God bless you, Peter. And left me. Can you imagine? I was 27 years old. I had no idea it was black. I knew when I crossed Budlong, all right, I said, this is not the west of Ireland. And I stood up the first Sunday at Mass, and here I am in front of all black people. And I thought, what have I in common? And then I thought, well, all I can do is love them as best I can, and we all need love. As the Beatles said, all we need is love. And you know how old I am when I start talking about the Beatles. So, and then after Mass, a little girl came up to me and said, "Father Peter, you talks real funny." And I felt like saying, "You talks real funny yourself." Yes. Looking back on it, it was ridiculous that send me out from Ireland without a clue into a black community. But you know, when things happen in your life and sometimes you don't understand it, but looking back, I say it was the greatest blessing God ever gave me. I was thrown into a Baptist community, black community, at that time all black. The Baptist people taught me an awful lot about Jesus, because I came from a very harsh, intolerant, punishing God that was very hard to fall in love with. And in fact, I wasn't in love with him. I didn't like him either, for that matter. And I don't mind saying that to children and young people. I said it out at the camps. But I went on a search, and the Baptist people helped me to find an amazing God, kind, compassionate, loving, and I built a personal relationship with him, and now certainly I am not afraid. It said today, when Jesus said to the apostles, "Do not be afraid," it's mentioned 365 times in the Bible, "Do not be afraid." And so I thank God for the great gift of being in Watts. Watts, for the young people, some of them may not know, it's 100 blocks south of downtown Los Angeles. And it's on 101 at Compton Avenue, St. Lawrence or Brindisi. And of all the things, brothers and sisters, I spend most of my priesthood, in fact, that's where I spend all the time nearly, apart from little spells other place. Of all the needs of the inner city, it's not just soup kitchens. It is soup kitchens. We need to feed the poor. I feel the greatest need is the need of our children, to look after our kids. And I can give you your money that you give this evening or whenever goes, and I would not be up here preaching if I did not think this was going, all of it, to the poor parishes and to poor children. And that's why, of all the collections, I mean, I felt to myself, well, I will do this. I'm someplace else next week. I've done it every year. And I will continue doing it until I die, because I totally believe in it. Because of what I've seen with this. And I'll give you a few examples. In Watts, Watts has changed. Watts is 80%, at least in the church, is 80% Hispanic. There are 5 masses in Spanish on a Sunday and 2 in English, 4 or 5 on Saturday. Can you imagine me speaking Spanish with an Irish accent? Some people even come to Mass just to hear it. And I said, I don't care why you come to Mass, as long as you come to church, you come to hear it. But I had to learn Spanish. I'm all the language, but I learned Spanish, and I love the culture. But at Mass, the first Mass is 6 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock many years ago, there was a lady kneeling down. She always comes. She was the height of Mother Teresa or shorter. Her name is Katerina. She lives in the Project Jordan Downs. She's a single mother, a horribly difficult life. And she has one son, Andreas. And Andreas was sitting on the seat. He was about 6 or 7. And I said to Katerina, "Would you like to put Andreas in our Catholic school?" She said, "I would love to, but how do I do it?" So I said, "Well, come tomorrow." So on Monday, she came around 5 o'clock. She works in a little garment industry making clothes and is paid by the piece. And she sat on a chair, legs were dangling down, and looked very poor but very clean. Incredible eyes. And Andreas sat over here. I said, "Well now, Katerina, what about Andreas?" She says, "Father Peter, I'm nobody. I don't care about me. All I care is about my child, Andreas, that he knows God and gets a good education." And I knew, brothers and sisters, that I was in the presence of a saint, and she's still there, of an amazingly holy woman. Andreas got into our school. He graduated with honors. He went to Verbum Dei, which is on 110 and Central Avenue, run by the Jesuits, an amazing school. In fact, the parents of Daniel O'Connell, Daniel O'Connell is the principal at this Mass. They do an amazing one. He graduated with honors, and he's now in university. That's because of you, Together in Mission. A few years ago, maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I got a call from this family saying they had a problem, a major problem. Anthony and Lisette were two young children. Anthony was 7, Lisette is 6. Their mother is Luce, works in Superior Market. The mother told Anthony to go out and tell his father move his car. Anthony went out to the back house and found his father lying on the floor with a shotgun he'd blown his head off. This is a 7-year-old child. And the only way to, we felt, what are you going to do? And we invited them into our school. Anthony is now a senior, and I'm sure Daniel O'Donnell will know him, a senior at Verdon Day. Lisette is a junior at Bishop Conaty. And Anthony is applying to the top universities in the United States. That would have seemed impossible on that tragic day. But because of Together in Mission, this is possible. There's a place close off the Harbour Freeway and by the 105. It's called Nickerson Gardens, one of the toughest housing projects west of the Mississippi. There's a family that live there, Maria and Mauricio, and then their children are Dulce and Lucia, Lolita, Stephanie, and Mauricio. And one Sunday morning, she's from Honduras and he's from Mexico, she got down nearly on her knees begging me to do something for her kids. Because living there in the middle of drugs and gangs, I don't know how many gangs are there, and if you go through these into these housing projects, you walk into the house, it's all dark. The blinds are always pulled. So you don't see in and you don't see out. How are these kids going to, what's their future? And so I said, yes, I'll go over to the principal. We took the 5 children into school. Lucia and Dulce are now seniors at Bishop Conaty. Lolita is a junior. Stephanie is in a grade school in Watts, which is full, by the way. Stephanie and then Mauricio. Dulce, now they're in their senior year. Try to imagine being in this incredibly difficult area. What can you see? Nothing but this poverty and emptiness and frustration. Somebody said about Watts one time, we're born nowhere, we're living nowhere, and we're going nowhere. Well, if that's your attitude, you will go nowhere. So we try to get into the children, yes, you are going somewhere, and you're not just going to get a good education, you must. So I saw Dulce lately, and she's just like her name. Dulce means sweet. She's just a gorgeous girl, and so is her twin, Lucia. And I said to Dulce, next year when you graduate, Dulce, what are you going to do? She said, well, I think I might go to Loyola Marymount or I'll go to Santa Clara. I thought, would she have even dreamed of that years ago? And she's getting the grades to do it. If that was the only one thing that Together in Mission did, then I would feel content. I would feel happy. So God bless those beautiful children. There's another family, and then one final one, that lived on Wilmington Avenue and 107. We used to call it Blood Alley. It was the toughest place in Watts. There's a place in Watts that looked great. There are other places you certainly don't walk, although I did walk everywhere. I walked all my life in Watts, and I've never been afraid, so I've been very blessed. But there was a family living in a broken-down trailer. We took them into the convent because the convent was empty. The oldest, Violetta, they stayed a year. Violetta graduated with honours, got a scholarship to Notre Dame Academy, and graduated with honours and got a scholarship to Occidental College. Brothers and sisters, we have 3 kids, or children, they're not children, young adults, from Watts, from our school at Brown University. One is Anna Quayer. There are 5 children in the family. The father is a plumber and a carpenter, disabled. The mother cleans toilets at the airport. And she is in Brown University. All 5 children went to university. All 5. And it all started with the Catholic school. And their incredible faith. And finally, there's Carlos. This man came to us a few years ago, and he was in a wheelchair, and he said, I'm dying. My son, Carlos, is 3 years old. Will you take care of him and take him into the school? And we said, well, we'll take him into the school, but he's too young. But will you take him when I die and just take care of him? And we said, yes. There were 3 boys in the family. There was Carlos, and he has a Down syndrome brother who lives with him, and they live in the projects in Jordan Downs. And his mother works at night. And so when he got to age, we took Carlos into school. And you know how young people, children, tell you quickly how old you get because all of a sudden they seem to be in the eighth grade. And I walk into the eighth grade and I said, "Is that you, Carlos?" And he said, "Yes, this beautiful young man." And I said, "Where would you like to go next year?" This was last April. He said, "I dream about going to John Bosco, but I know that's not possible." Well, I said, "Yeah, dreams are possible. Those children in Watts dream like the children in St. Monica's, Santa Monica, in Beverly Hills, or Brentwood, or Manhattan Beach, or Palos Verdes, or the Santa Ynez Valley. They all have dreams to be firemen, or teachers, or doctors, or lawyers, or eye specialists, or whatever they may be." And so I left, and then I lived part-time up in Solvang because I'm a vocation director. But I went out at 8 o'clock Mass, and I told them about Carlos. This was 8 o'clock Mass on a Monday morning. And I said, "Every child has a dream." And I told him about his father and then about we shipped the body back to El Salvador and the mother working at night. And Carlos takes care of his Down syndrome brother going to school. And a man tapped me on the shoulder after Mass and said, his name is David, "I'll take care of Carlos. I'll pay for him at John Bosco all 4 years and I'll make sure he goes through university." I felt like crying. In fact, I did, actually. And I called at the school in Watts, Miss Sullivan, Joan Sullivan, the principal, and I said, "Joan, you won't believe what happened." Now, my faith sometimes is not that strong, but miracles happen. And so I said, "This is what happened yesterday morning." And she went in to tell Carlos, and Carlos in the eighth grade started crying. And he said, "How can anybody love me so much who has never met me?" He's getting 4-point grade average in St. John Bosco. And I've no doubt he'll go to university. And he sends pictures of himself and he sent the rosary beads to this family who are extremely wealthy. But the rosary beads from that child is better than $1 million to this family. Laura Stanton, David's wife, said to me, "I can't believe she met this child." The eighth grade came up to Solvang, and we got them able skivers, and I invited her down to see this. And she said, of all the children she has ever met in her life, this is the most precious. And brothers and sisters, there are two phrases I'd like to leave with that are favorites of mine. "I shall pass this way but once, whatever good I can do, let me do now, for I shall pass this way but once." And the other one is, "The rich help the poor in this life, and the poor will help the rich in the next." Like Carlos said, "How can anybody love me so much who has never met me?" You have loved so much many of these children and parishes throughout South Los Angeles who you have never met. One day you will meet them, one day, and they'll walk up to you and thank you for changing their lives. And all I want to say is this evening to all of you, to Monsignor, to Willie, to Mark, and to David, and to all of you here, thank you for your wonderful kindness, and God bless you.
Your love.